Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's text is found written in Hosea chapter 5, verse 13, and into chapter 6, verse 3. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria and sent to the great king. But he's not able to cure you or heal you of your wound. For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn. He will come to us as the showers and as the spring rains that water the earth. So far the text. Jesus' name, dear Christian friends, stories told about a man who was traveling to the territory, the nation of Palestine, and during his week-long stay, he lived with a man who was working as a shepherd. During his stay, he noticed how that shepherd would carry food out to one of the sheep of his flock every day, a sheep that had an injured leg that was walking around with a noticeable limp. So he asked the shepherd, "What happened to your sheep? Why is it walking with that limp?" "Last year, I injured its leg on purpose," the shepherd said. "What? Why would you do that?" the incredulous traveler asked. "Well, this sheep loved to run off into the wilds and get itself into trouble and make itself vulnerable to predators. And so I hurt its leg to teach it a lesson so that as I would carry it around for days during the healing process and give it lots of extra TLC, it would learn to stay by my side, to follow me, and to trust me as its caring shepherd." I don't know if that story is true. It seems a bit far-fetched, doesn't it, for a shepherd to take such draconian measures to train a wayward sheep. But it is not far-fetched. It actually serves as an apt illustration of what God, our shepherd, does for us, his sheep. In concern for our spiritual welfare, he sometimes allows, might even say causes, painful things to touch our lives, but not because he's uncaring, but because he wants to draw us ever closer to himself, to teach us to depend on him more for our needs, both of body and of soul. And that's the truth that Hosea, the prophet, presents to us in our text, that when God hurts us, it's because he wants to help us. He has loving reasons for inflicting pain, and he yearns to refresh us with his grace. So who was this Hosea, the man who the Holy Spirit inspired to write the words of our text? He was called to preach God's word to the people of Israel about in the 700s BC. And he was called to preach God's word to the inhabitants of the nation of Israel, that was the northern kingdom. Israel, the nation, was enjoying a good measure of earthly prosperity at that time. Their lives were thriving outwardly, their economy booming. Crowds were filling the religious shrines, engaging in rituals of worship regularly. Everything to outward appearances seemed real good. Inwardly, though, their lives were in rough shape. Their hearts had become disloyal to their God. They did not love or trust in Him, something that was evidenced by their lives, in that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes, and they were practicing with impunity the whole spectrum of sins against God's holy commandments, and they had no understanding for sin's seriousness in God's eyes, the need for humble repentance and the blessing of forgiveness for sin that He freely offered them in His love. They had no interest in that. So it was at this time that the Lord caused a painful hurt to happen in their lives. It came in the form of a menacing foreign power that threatened to invade their land and pillage it and carry away the people as wretched slaves. And their response to this painful wound that God inflicted on them, this looming disaster, Hosea describes it in our text in verse 13. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, then Ephraim went to Assyria for help. So instead of turning to the Lord in repentance, confessing their sins and seeking His mercy, they looked to an earthly benefactor. In fact, one of the kings at this time of the northern kingdom, whose name was Menahem, devised a plan to pay 1,000 talents of silver, that's like 70 tons, so I read, to Assyria's king to persuade him to give Israel his protection. But the problem was that Assyria's king could not heal the nation of Israel of the ailment that they were suffering, which was spiritual in nature, their sin sickness. And so what did God do then? Well, then He decided to inflict on them a deeper wound. Verses 14 and 15 in our text. I'm going to be like a lion to Ephraim. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. And then I'll return to my place till you acknowledge your guilt and seek my face, and in your distress earnestly seek me. That, of course, was a forceful preaching of God's law, which He used to help them understand their lost spiritual condition and so that they would look to Him for deliverance. I, the Lord your God, who possesses both the ability and the desire to apply to your sin-wounded hearts the medicine that will heal those wounds. What application or applications, friends, does this have for us today? Well, certainly the strong images that Hosea presents here in our text are intended by the Lord to teach us and to impress upon us that the contemporary image that many have of God, it's kind of like a soft, naive, uninvolved grandpa who pats heads and smiles at the problem of sin rather than addressing it and seeking to heal it. That's woefully misguided. That vivid picture of a lion tearing its prey, carrying it off, and returning to its lair shows God's seriousness about sin, the sin problem that it is, and the need that everyone has for a heavenly benefactor, heavenly physician. The Lord has the ability, He has the desire to bind up sin-broken hearts, cure bleeding souls, and enrich the humble poor with the treasures of His grace, which no earthly helper can do. And the Lord is also here teaching us, His children, to retain a healthy sin consciousness. He wants you and me to examine our hearts on a daily basis in the light of His holy commandments, to mark our faults, and then to look to Him for forgiveness and to marvel at the lengths He went to remove our sins from us in His Son. He wants us to rejoice in his comforting invitation, which we just sang in the hymn. Come to Calvary's holy mountain, sinners ruined by the fall. Here a pure and healing fountain flows to you, to me, to all, in a full perpetual tide, which is opened when our Savior died. And another takeaway, when troubles happen in our lives, when the Lord permits them, perhaps intentionally causes them, need we ever fear that he's abandoned us or turned away from us his love and his heart? Never. He allows hurts to touch our lives to remind us that we live in a world that's temporary, not going to endure, so that we do not love the world and the things in the world. It's all that's in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father but is from the world, and the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. To remind us of that truth, and then also as an expression of his love when hurts happen. Proverbs 3 verse 12 says, whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 12, it is for discipline that you have to endure pains and troubles. God is treating you as sons. What son is there whom his father does not discipline? We have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to our heavenly Father and live? They disciplined us for a short time as they thought best, our earthly fathers. No discipline, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time it's administered, but painful, but later produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And yeah, his ultimate goal, through hurts and troubles and pains of our lives that he allows, is that he might then refresh us with his grace. When a hospital patient goes under the surgeon's scalpel, it is to correct a medical problem they are suffering from, and that hurts, that surgery, but it's for a good purpose. When a child has a sliver in its finger, causes significant pain, ouch! And then suffers more pain when his mom digs it out with a needle, hurts even more, but for a good purpose. So the Lord uses the scalpel of his law to hurt us, to show us our sinfulness, that we might then flee to the precious gospel, which he uses to bind up and heal our wounded spirits. And it's also a great comfort to know that the Lord assures us in his word that when through the deep waters I call you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow, for I will be with you, your troubles to bless and sanctify to you your deepest distress. And when through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be your supply. The flames will not hurt you. I only design your dross to consume and your gold to refine. This is to purify our faith of its weaknesses and make it even stronger. And notice also the two images the Lord uses here through Hosea to illustrate these precious truths. In the last verse of our text, he says, let's press on to know the Lord. His going out is sure as the dawn, and he will come to us as the showers, as surely as the spring rains that water the earth. So the dawn, or the sun in the morning, and rain. Will the sun come up tomorrow morning and beam its light earthward? I mean, when we spend a night sometimes tossing in bed with physical discomfort or spiritual distress, we might wonder, is it ever going to come? Always does. as it has for each day of every year since the world's creation, so it is with the Lord's refreshment for our souls. His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And the rain, the showers, do they keep falling on the earth? Might seem sometimes it'll never rain again when there's a prolonged drought. Or will it ever snow again? We haven't had snow in such a long time. Well, we just got it today. Always does. So too, God's pardoning grace in Christ is that dependable. He sends it down upon us like showers for the reinvigorating of our weary spirits. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Closing, sadly, the Bible does record the nation of Israel, that northern kingdom, did not heed Hosea's message. It did end up being destroyed by the Assyrians and the people deported, and likewise the southern kingdom continued on for a little while, but too, because of its faithlessness, the Lord permitted it to be overrun by Babylonian hordes and the people carried away captive. And the faithful remnant may have wondered at that time, well, has God abandoned us? Is he going to refresh us? Is he going to keep his Savior promise? You know what happened. 70 years later, the remnant returned to the Holy Land, and Jesus was then born at Bethlehem, by whose redemptive work God has provided spiritual healing for his people. The very Savior who said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So praise be to our God for his faithful love and for the certainty that we have as his children that when he hurts us, it's because he wants to help us. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Uphold with your spirit.